Welcome to another time of Feasting on the Word, a time set apart where we simply allow God's Word to be what speaks to us, not looking to fill it in with other explanations or information, but to allow it to speak on its own. We do this by reading through the same small, short passage of Scripture four times. I use four translations in this discipline just to help illuminate that short passage as much as possible without saying more. So allowing the Scripture to stand on its own, but hearing it perhaps a little bit differently each time by virtue of the translations. Following each time is an intentional time of silence for us to reflect and allow that word to absorb. So there is 1 minute of silence following the first reading, another minute of silence following the second reading, 3 minutes of silence following the third reading, during which we are encouraged to go to God in prayer with our thoughts and reflections on how this scripture is impacting us, what we are hearing through it, the challenges that arise from it. And following the fourth reading is we just go into our week. So there isn't silence that follows that, but it's our invitation then to take that scripture with us into the remainder, what remains of our day and our week. So in the idea of feasting on the word, the idea is sort of taking a bite of the word and chewing on it and then swallowing it and digesting it. So the way that this word really becomes a part of us, it forms us and informs us. I'm going to continue with the book of Romans, which we have focused on little passages from Romans now for the last few weeks. I'm jumping into the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 25 now, and I will be using the New Revised Standard Version, the Message Translation, the Living Bible, and the New International Version in that order. I will say the version before each time that I read the passage and the corresponding silence. It can be helpful to have pen and paper nearby to write down some of your impressions of the scripture as it is read, so that when it comes time to pray following the third reading, you have some of those initial impressions and effects right there next to you. So let's begin with Romans 8, 18 through 25, the New Revised Standard Version. I consider that the present sufferings... Let me start that again, I apologize. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Okay, we turn now to our second reading of Romans 8, 18 through 25, this from the Message translation. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Okay, we now hear our third reading of Romans 8, verses 18 through 25, this from the Living Bible translation. And 3 minutes of silence will follow this, during which we are encouraged to turn to God in prayer. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. We are saved by trusting, and trusting means looking forward to getting something we don't yet have. For a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust that he will get it. But if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. Okay, we turn now to our final reading and taking this word out into our week. So the final reading of Romans 8, 18 through 25, the New International Version. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.